This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina podcast. I'm your host, John Siegley, here with Michael Brooker. We are coming to you live immediately following UNC's loss to the Wisconsin Badgers, 85-62 in the NCAA tournament. Brooke, this is Roy Williams' first ever loss in the first round of the tournament, man. Let's jump right into it with this. I mean, where did things go wrong for you watching this game, a former player? You know, just what were your thoughts? And yeah, basically just go from there, man. Not a whole lot to say after this one.
Yeah, I think ultimately they're an extremely experienced group. I think they have like five or six major key contributors. They're like 23, 24, just a really experienced, you know, solid, talented group, but just been through a lot of battles, Big Ten battles, NCAA tournament battles. And so you could tell early on that they just kind of got in a rhythm early on, and we're extremely young in a lot of spots. And it showed early. They brought the fight to us. As we've seen before with some other games here recently where we were kind of reacting as opposed to being proactive and being the aggressor. And they just got off to a good start, and we never could get into a rhythm offensively. They're a very solid defensive team. They play a slower pace. And so once they got in a rhythm offensively, you know, you knew there were going to be a ton of possessions, and just couldn't quite get going, and let them get really comfortable and never really disrupted them, and then just made it a really tough night. All the way around.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin shot over 50% from the field overall, but the story of the game to me was their shooting from the three. I mean, 48% from three, 13 of 27. It's hard to win against anybody if you're letting an opponent shoot that high. But, I mean, do you think it was something, Brooke, where was Carolina lacking on defense, or was Wisconsin just knocking down their shots like – you know, you may not expect them to do every single night?
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some, you know, open, really open looks. But I think generally speaking, we were close. We had a hand in the face. They did make a couple nice kick out passes, and there was a three in the second half after Davidson had really been going, where he was, I think nobody was within about 20 feet of him, and you just wonder how that happens. But generally speaking, I mean, they got really comfortable early, and you know, even when the shots were contested pretty well, they were feeling it. They were knocking them down. I mean, Davison and Trice were, you know, 18 for 30 and 8 for 15 from three. They combined for 50 points. I texted one of my buddies that we made Davison, you know, he's averaging 9.4 points on the year. We made him look like, you know, peak J.J. Redick at Duke when he was, you know, player of the year or whatever. So I think he had 29 on the night. So. Just a never disrupting them on the line, and they just made us pay. You know, knocking down 13 of them is pretty unheard of.
Yeah, and then, you know, on the other side, Carolina only attempted 13 and made 5. You know, it's just something that this iteration of the Tar Heels just struggle really from shooting it from deep, and I think this is what it was in the first half. I mean, Wisconsin completely stifled the interior. And then when Carolina finally made some shots in the second half, it was just too little too late.
Yeah, I mean, they made it difficult. They were physical with us. They challenged at the rim. I think they ended up with about 8 blocks. You know, nothing was easy. They challenged everything. We didn't do as good a job as we normally do on the glass. We didn't end up with 12 offensive rebounds. But, you know, when you're shooting 38.5%, you know, you're going to have more chances there. Yeah. They did out-rebound us. So, you know, turnovers were at 10. So that's a doable number for us, a pretty solid number for us. But just we never could get anything going offensively, especially first half. I think we got a little bit more of a rhythm in the second half offensively. Didn't really close the gap, as you stated earlier when we were talking off air. But so we got a little bit better rhythm offensively, but we just traded baskets ultimately. And like you said, 24-point differential in three-point baskets made. And so that was kind of, you know, that's kind of the difference in the game. Ultimately, mm-hmm. we made 5 of 13, which is a good percentage for us. But when they knock down 13 and shoot at that high of a clip, it's just going to be a long night.
It is. Let me ask you this, Brooke. As a former player, how do you think the officials and how they were reffing this game, do you think that had anything to do with it? Because I saw some chatter on like social media that some people were kind of complaining that the refs were letting them play on one end and calling it tight on the others. I don't quite know if that would have been a difference, but did you notice anything that maybe threw the heels out of their rhythm early on in this one?
I don't think so, generally speaking. I mean, there were some calls here and there, a couple walk calls you would like to have as a Heels fan, but generally
speaking. When a guy scoots 3 feet across the court,
Yes, so a couple of those, you know, but generally speaking, I'm not sure that had a major impact on the game. I just once again thought their experience and their, you know, moxie kind of showed early and knocked us back. And, you know, we just couldn't answer. We don't have enough. I don't think we have enough dynamic wing play, enough consistent shooting right now to really get back into a game when we get down 16 like that. I mean, we made a couple mini pushes, but, you know, they answered back with a couple buckets here and there and just kept us at bay and we never really got really close to put any game pressure on them.
Yeah, I mean, Kerwin, Carolina's really only true threat from the outside was only 2 for 3. Do you think this was the type of game where you would kind of want to maybe see Kerwin attempt closer to maybe 10 shots? Because I feel that given the flow of this one, Carolina definitely needed him to get more involved in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get more than 4 shots in general. And I know Coach wants him to shoot more. I think I saw earlier today where he was talking about they need to get him more involved. He needs to move better off the ball and work towards the ball and all, you know, those types of some stuff I saw online today. So, I mean, I think everyone would love for him to get some more opportunities. And, you know, part of that's on him and part of that's on the point guard play of getting him the ball in spots where he can be successful and get good looks at the basket. And, you know, part of it's, you know, on the rest of the guys as well. So it's a team effort in regards to making sure the right people are getting shots. You know, you don't, you know, Love is 4 for 13. He's had some good games here in the past, you know, 5 or 6, but you'd love to see those shots dispense a little more evenly between Walton and Love, as opposed to having 13 for one and 4 for Walton. So,
yeah. And then, I mean, RJ Davis came out. I like the fact that RJ is at least not afraid to shoot the ball, mm-hmm. but he's a freshman. I mean, he went 2 of 9, 1 for 3 from the 3-point line. You can tell that there's some talent there, but I think it goes back to the fact, Brooke, that and this is just an inexperienced Carolina squad at some key positions. And I think that was just kind of the shortcoming against an experienced team like Wisconsin, which you alluded to earlier, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of talent with these young guys that we have on the perimeter. So I don't mean to say that we don't have talent on the perimeter, because I think we do. It's just really young talent, and it's kind mm-hmm. of inconsistent. It's kind of inconsistent talent at the moment. But, you know, I'd love to be able to see these guys be here 2 or 3 years and to see what they really can become. Because, you know, like a Joel Berry, I go back to him. He was kind of inconsistent and not extremely productive as a freshman, although he did some really nice things. But, man, did he turn out to be a really, really solid player. You could see that with RJ Davis and, you know, some of these other guys. You can see that they're flashes of being really good, and they will continue to develop and continue to get better and be really, really good college players. But when you're relying on freshmen, especially in the NCAA tournament at the wing, at the guard spot especially, it can make for some tough outings, and tonight was one of those.
Well, what do you think about this team going forward, man? I mean, obviously, you know, the fans' eyesight is immediately going to go to next season, and it's just so early on. I mean, who knows the emotions that these guys are going through? Because as bad as the fans feel, you know that in the locker room, they feel 100 times worse.
No question.
So, you know, looking to this next season coming up, I mean, I don't know. What are your kind of just thoughts, instant reaction after watching this performance against Wisconsin, knowing how young a team Carolina has and what could be coming potentially back next year?
Yeah, it's unfortunate to end on this note, you know, but I thought this season there were a lot of positives, especially with the unique situation everyone found themselves in with the lack of a preseason, the lack of games against some of the out of conference foes that build up confidence and build, you know, form roles earlier in the season. So I think there's a lot of positives to take from this year, but there is a lot of uncertainty as we go into the offseason on, you know, what the offseason is going to look like, you know, what the season's going to look like next year in regards to, you know, is it going to be back to normal? And, you know, you like to think that, you know, most of the guys are coming back, you know, you would hope. Not a lot of guys, maybe Sharp would be the one that kind of stands out as the guy who has really shown flashes of some really, really strong play with his athleticism and his length and his rebounding. So he's probably the one guy you would think might go pro. I just don't know that Love was consistent enough and productive enough to be that guy, to be the one and done that everybody expected him to be. So, you know, you'd like to think that most of the guards would return. Sharp maybe being the one guy. Bacot may test the waters. He had a really good stretch there and really was productive. So, you know, losing Brooks to graduation potentially, who knows if he's going to come back or play tech and utilize that extra year. So there's just a lot of uncertainty. And so, you know, you hate to end the season like this with that uncertainty in play, but it kind of is what it is. And we got a nice two-man class coming in with some shooting and some athleticism with Dunn and Styles. So I'm excited to see what they bring to the table. But yeah, it's a little bit of uncertainty. So we'll see how it shakes out and kind of hopefully get a little more clarity over the next, you know, month or so on what things are going to look like.
What do you think the message is right now from Coach Williams to the team? I mean, following a season-ending loss like this, how do you think he's handling the locker room right now? I mean, I know it was different for you guys, but, you know, is there kind of a message that coach is going to send to these guys, or is it kind of just, look, it wasn't our night. We need to recoup from this and come back stronger and really put in this work during the off season?
Yeah, I think it's more focusing on putting in the work in the off season in regards to just making sure that you learn from, you know, the positives and the negatives from this year and really focus on, I think, coming out and being more aggressive from the jump of games. And just, I don't know if that's a mindset thing, a physical, probably more of a mental toughness than a physical toughness. Although I do think we need to continue to improve our, from a physical toughness perspective and be a little more aggressive. Yeah, I think you just, you know, we got to learn from it and put it behind you, but also, utilize it as fuel moving forward. The guys that are coming back, because there is a lot of talent coming back, but there needs to be a lot of work done, you know, shooting and just overall, you know, cutting down turnovers, IQ related stuff, and so just you know, a lot of stuff to build on. So I'm cautiously optimistic, and I think coach is too, that with a great off season, we could come back pretty strong next year.
I think that's the surprising thing to me is going into this game. If you told me that Carolina would only have 10 turnovers, I thought the Heels would be absolutely in this game, and they just weren't. I mean, from the tip off. So I absolutely agree, though, that in too many games this season, the Heels just committed so many unforced errors. They weren't able to really get to their maximum offensive potential. Tonight, the rebounding, I think that was the thing, man, is you mentioned Carolina needing to get stronger physically. I think that was it, because Wisconsin, just from a pure size perspective, they could not match up with the height that Carolina had out there, but they were hustling and they were really being physical with us. So is that kind of your number one maybe goal for guys like Bacot, like Sharp, like Kessler, assuming that they are back? They just have to be able to get that mental aspect of the game.
Yeah, I think mental toughness and just an aggressive mindset has to kind of be more the focus. And Kessler, obviously, once again, he showed flashes, especially the last, you know, few weeks of the season, of being really, really good. But he's got to, you know, continue to get in the weight room and continue to focus on getting stronger, you know, and to go with his skill set. If he does that, he's going to be a force next year, I believe. Regardless of who he's down there with, he'll obviously get some more minutes next year with Brooks being gone, and so maybe we'll have more of a three-man big rotation with Styles maybe being that stretch four as a more athletic four. So maybe have a little more versatility as well, maybe in the second unit at the four spot. So Yeah, I think a lot of it has to come with just being mentally tougher from the tip against some of these more aggressive, stronger teams that can match us somewhat with size. Because Wisconsin, they had some good size, maybe not quite as much as us, but they were older and stronger and just more grizzled veterans, I guess you could say. And they kind of took it to us down there and made us have to really work for everything.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But let's wrap it up with this, Brooke. I mean, in fairness to the Heels, it was a crazy first day of the NCAA tournament. I mean, you saw Ohio State lose as a two seed. A lot of other games went to overtime. I mean, from the rest of the tournament on, it's a crazy year overall. Do you think that we're going to see just some more results like this where Carolina was favored by two, they lose by 23, Ohio State loses? Is it just going to be that type of
I
tournament,
think
you
so.
think?
I mean, it's such a weird year, and with no fans, and there's really no advantage to some of these higher seeds with location now. So you're going to see some of these lower seed teams get comfortable, like you saw with Oral Roberts today. Their best player just got really comfortable, and he got going, and so that's tough to stop. When you don't really have anything to lose, and you're the lower seed, I mean, you're going to see some of these teams come out and play with reckless abandon and go out there and see what happens. I think there's a little more pressure on some of these bigger brand name teams and some of these higher seeds, and they get tight, and some of the young guys that are major contributors, and you see that tightness and that inexperience kind of come to the forefront in some of these games that get down to the wire. So yeah, it's always crazy, but I think this year you're probably going to see even wilder results. And I'm sure at some point chalk will start, make its way through the tournament with the Gonzagas and probably the Baylors,
Yeah.
although that Wisconsin Baylor game should be a pretty good one. We made Wisconsin probably feels pretty good about themselves right now.
No, it's going to irritate me so bad when Wisconsin loses by like
Yeah,
double
possibly.
digits
Yeah.
to
Yeah, I'm sure
Baylor.
Baylor will give them a little more fits defensively, but yeah, you just, I mean, who knows this year what's going to happen? I mean, there's so many variables this year, and
Yeah.
so it'll definitely be interesting. I won't have quite as keen an eye on it, but I'll definitely still keep watching throughout.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you, man. I mean, my money's still on Gonzaga. We'll see what happens. Let's wrap it up with this, Brooke. If you had one final thing to say to all the Inside Carolina, all the Tar Heel fans out there who are listening to the podcast, now that the season is over with, what would you kind of leave them with at
I
this
think
point, man?
just, step away from the ledge. I think we're going to be just fine. We have a lot of talent. Coach obviously is going to come back even more. He's going to get these guys ready to come back and get back to work in the off season. Like I said, we got a nice two-man class coming in. Hopefully we'll be able to keep most everybody here. And we were just so young with so many, and I thought we played had a lot of positives this year. I mean, had some really good games. The second half against Florida State, the first couple of games of the ACC tournament, the Duke sweep. I mean, there are a lot of positives to take from this year with such a young squad. So it's not all doom and gloom. I know everybody's disappointed, and I'm sure the message boards are on fire right now and wanting to change and
Yeah.
all that crazy talk. But just take a deep breath. We're all frustrated. I know the coaches are everybody's frustrated, but let's learn from what we did well this year and continue to build, and hopefully we can come back with a more normal season next year in regards to just the day-to-day, getting back to school, getting back to normal practices, getting back to crowds at the games. And so I think we'll be just fine. We just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep going to work.
Absolutely agree with that, man. But we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. Have a good rest of the night, everybody.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.